If you'd like to follow this message in your Bibles, then please turn to Ephesians and chapter 1. You'll find message notes and discussion questions on the Bayside Church website and also on the Bayside Church Melbourne app. And so they'll be very helpful to you, I'm sure. The title of the message is Living a Liminal Life, and I'll explain what I mean by that in just a few minutes. But over the last few weeks, we've been spending a bit of time just kind of meditating on the truth of Jeremiah 29, which talks about how the people of Judea were to live when they were captives, foreigners, exiles in Babylon. And then, of course, when they were finally liberated from exile and could go back home. And so we spent a bit of time kind of thinking about that and the parallels between that story and how the world finds itself at the moment in this kind of holding pattern, as it were. And so in Jeremiah 29 and verse 10, it says, "This is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." There would have been some diverse feelings amongst the people. I mean, they'd been living for the best part of 70 years in Babylon, in a foreign country, as exiles, as refugees. And a lot of the people who had left Judea originally would have died, and a whole new generation who only knew Babylon and the Assyrian Empire and the culture and all of that, many of them had married into families in the city of Babylon, and now all of a sudden they can go back home. Imagine the different feelings and reactions. Some people say, well, we don't want to go back. We want to stay here. Our extended family are here. They'd married into another family in Babylon, and they had businesses and all of that that was going. Other people just couldn't wait to get back. And then there would have been a bunch of people kind of in between, because there was really nothing for them back in Israel. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The wall had been knocked down. There was nowhere to live. And so going back home was going to be a really, really tough journey. Many people are feeling that at the moment as we come to the end of an extended lockdown, particularly here in Melbourne, but people in Sydney, New South Wales, and other parts of the world. I read an interesting survey just during the week, and it talked about people and how they were feeling about coming out of lockdown. And 2/3 of the people said that they felt anxious about coming out of lockdown into the next phase of the COVID-19 pandemic. I received a lovely message a few days ago from one of our Bayside Church members, and she said to me in this text, "I was just praying for you, and this is the scripture I got for you. Thank you for all you do for our church community. I am proud to be serving under your leadership. God bless you both." And a couple of hearts, which was lovely. And this is the verse that she sent that God placed upon her heart. And I thought it was particularly appropriate to what I'm sharing with you this weekend. It's also from Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 6. "My eyes will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them." What a wonderful promise for the people of Israel as they were going back home. What a wonderful promise it is for us. And particularly, I was encouraged by that message for us as a church community, as Bayside Church, that God is watching over us for our good. And He's going to build us up. He's going to plant us, not uproot us. And He's going to build us up in the weeks and the months to come. So very encouraged by that. I hope you are too. The Jews found themselves in what we refer to as a liminal space, much as we do in Melbourne and people right around the world. A liminal space is the space between. It's like, well, you might be going on a journey and you've left home, but you haven't arrived at where you're going yet. You're in that liminal space. Maybe you've applied for a job, but you haven't heard yet. You're in that space between, or maybe you did apply for the job and you got it, but that's now in a different city. So you're in that liminal space of having to pack up everything and finish up here and then find somewhere to live where you're going to be working and school for the kids and all the various things that go with that. You're living in that liminal space and will be for a few months to come, waiting for a diagnosis. Maybe you've seen something in your body that it's not great. You've gone to the doctor and your GP sent you for some tests. You've had the tests, but you haven't got the results yet. You're in that liminal space and you're believing for the best, but you also know that maybe the worst case scenario will be the case. We don't know, but that's that liminal space. That's how the Jews were feeling as they were going back to Jerusalem to rebuild. That's how we're feeling right now in Melbourne as we come out of lockdowns and into the next phase of the restrictions as we navigate our way through this global pandemic. My mind goes to one of my favourite characters in one of my all-time favourite movies, and that's Donkey from Shrek. In one of the Shrek movies, Donkey and Fiona and Shrek are heading to far, far away. Shrek and Fiona are in the front of the wagon, Donkey's in the back. And every now and again, Donkey goes, "Are we there yet?" And if you look at that scene over the process of those 2 or 3 minutes of the movie, Shrek and Fiona get more and more irate with Donkey. And in the end, Shrek goes, "Donkey, for goodness sake, far, far away is far, far away. It's going to take a long time to get there. For goodness sake, do something to entertain yourself." And Donkey stops and is thinking, and then suddenly, and he starts doing that, which drives, of course, them all crazy. Are we there yet? My dear sister in Perth taught my kids when they were younger to say, "Are we there yet?" whenever we go out into the car. Thank you so much, Liz. One of the things I've also enjoyed, another comedy over the years, is Irish comedy, which I live with, all right? So Christy is Irish comedy. I am convinced, actually, that Irish jokes are really true stories. And over the years, we have had many, many laughs because of the things that Irish people have said. In fact, I could use the rest of my time in this message to tell you stories, but I won't. I'll just tell you a couple. When Gigi was about 2 months old, Christy and I headed over to Ireland and we flew into Dublin and we got a taxi ride to the hotel that we were going to be staying in. And we had this little taxi driver, little Irish guy, who just talked continuously. And as he was yabbering away, he said, "Well, you look at that footpath over there." He said, if you keep to your left, you come back on yourself. And we laughed, you know, because it sounds funny. We knew what he meant. If you just keep to your left, you come back to where you started. But the Irish way of putting it was, you come back on yourself. A few days later, we were at a wedding of one of Christy's relatives. And as I say, Gigi was only a little baby. And I was standing up at the reception and I had Gigi in a baby Bjorn and I was just comforting her as she was sleeping. Everyone else was sitting down. And then the best man and the groomsman got up and the best man started with these words. He said, "Well, we've run out of time. In fact, we ran out of time an hour ago. So I'm just going to read a few telegrams from people who are a long, long way away who are close." And I thought it was funny, so I laughed. But nobody else laughed because they knew exactly what he meant. And so they all looked at me as I was some sort of strange person. And I think they were like, "Well, who's that fella over there?" And I said, "Oh, that's a guy from Australia." "Oh, aye." Kind of like that explains it all, you know. So people who are a long, long way away who are close to the family. And then we got lost when we were in Ireland on one occasion and we needed to find our way to Belfast. Now, just let me give you a bit of history here. Christy and I, we'd only been married for a few years at this point. I have the world's worst sense of direction and Christy can't read a map to save her life. And so you can imagine this combination. This is before GPS. And so I have a bad sense of direction. Christy normally has the map upside down and says, "Go left," pointing right. And then she goes, no, the other left, and all of that. You can imagine, we laugh at it now, but in the early days of our marriage, it led to quite a number of arguments. So we're lost in Ireland, and we see this guy on the side of the road, and so we pull over and wind the window down and say, excuse me, would you know how to get to Belfast? And he looked at me and he said, well, if I'd been wanting to get to Belfast, I wouldn't be starting from here. Which is like, yes, thank you, but where would I get to in order to begin to start getting to Belfast? The thing I love about the Irish is that you know what they mean, but they have a delightfully funny way of expressing what they're saying. To get to somewhere, you need to know exactly where you are right now. And I am so grateful for the map app on my phone, because now I don't need a sense of direction because I have it in a little box and it tells me exactly where I am, and it also tells me where to go in the nicest possible way. And so the Bible is also like a GPS. It tells us where we're located and it tells us where we're going to go. And so let's have a look in Ephesians chapter 1 to find out where we are located right now as followers of Jesus. Ephesians 1 from verse 19. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as his mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And then turn over, let's go to Ephesians 2 and pick it up at verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. What I want you to see there is, first of all, where Jesus is. It tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly realms. And then in the next chapter, chapter 2, it tells us that we have been raised up with Christ and we are seated with him in that same realm, those heavenly realms. Now, understanding that there are three heavens. The first heaven refers to the sky, the clouds, the atmosphere of the earth. The second heaven is really the universe, the stars, the planets, and all of that. And then the third heaven, which is referred to in Scripture, is the sphere of spiritual activity. So it's not necessarily a geographical location. In fact, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's the sphere of spiritual activity. So as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, you are living in this in-between place. We're not here, but we're not quite there. And that's what a liminal space is all about. And that's why I've titled this message, Living a Liminal Life. And I want to share with you three brief principles of how we can live that liminal life effectively. And I've named them the ABCs, so you'll be able to easily remember them. So A is the first one. Accept you'll never completely fit in. This is so important. Accept that you'll never completely fit in. I wonder if, like me, you've ever felt that you just don't totally belong here on planet Earth. I felt that on many, many occasions, like a square peg in a round hole. Well, if you felt like that, you're in good company, because the fact is that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't completely fit on this planet. You don't really belong. You're living a liminal life. I've spoken to a number of missionaries over the years, people from Australia who have a calling to go to a foreign land to preach, to teach, to live amongst people and to live a godly life and to show them Jesus as they have an opportunity to do so. And in conversation with those missionaries, what they tell me is that they do their very best to learn the culture, to learn the language of the new place that they're going to live, but they never completely fit in there because ultimately they're not from there. But ultimately, then, of course, they come back to Australia. What they find is that they've changed so much while they've been living in that other place. They come back to Australia and they don't completely fit in Australia either. They literally are constantly living a liminal life. They're stuck between two cultures. I found that with my humour because I was born in London. My family emigrated to Western Australia when I was 12. And I've found that in a lot of time, and you know, sometimes people laugh at my humour, but most of the time people groan. Shortly after Christy and I were married, we went to Ireland and we stopped off in London for a few days and did a little bit of driving around and checking out some of the sites that I hadn't seen for 25 years since we left. And on one occasion, we were in this lovely department store, Fortnum & Mason in London, and Christy found some moisturiser that she wanted. And so she got the moisturiser and she said to me, would you mind going over and paying for it? And so I said, no, that's fine. So I went over to the cash register. There was a lady standing there and I handed her the moisturiser and she said to me, do you want to put this on your credit card? And I said, no, I'll put it on my face. And then she roared with laughter. She said, oh, you and I are funny, aren't you? You know, in the London accent and everything. And I thought, wow, she actually thinks I'm funny. Wonder why that is. Oh, yes, I was born here. That's why. And suddenly there was that kind of connection that was happening. And it's the same with us as Christians. We don't completely belong here and we need to accept that fact. So number one, on living a liminal life, accept that you will never completely fit in. It actually ends up taking a lot of pressure off you. Number two, be in the world, but not of it. Be in the world, but not of it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away. The Greek word there translated engrossed means to use it all up. And so Paul is saying here, those of you who use the things of the world, don't use them all up. He's stating this in the negative. When it comes to the world around you, don't use it all up. Don't be engrossed. Don't be consumed by the world. Be in it, but not of it. Jesus lived this kind of liminal life. He radically related to his world, and yet he was deeply different from it. Jesus calls us, of course, to be just like him. That's what he prayed in John 17, verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them to live in accordance with the truth. Your word is truth. And so as you journey through life, enjoy what this world has to offer, but don't be captivated by it. Be in the world, but not of it. And in your message notes, there's a number of other Bible references I've provided there for you. You can look those up and read and study those in your own time. Thirdly and finally, C, convince yourself that God has called you to a liminal life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. The New American Standard Bible puts it this way, during the time of your stay on earth. I love the way that that's put, during the time of your stay. I wonder, have you ever been to a hotel? You've had a stay in a hotel, maybe on holiday or maybe a special anniversary or something in the city and you've booked a couple of nights away or maybe on holiday and you booked a week in a hotel and you get there and you're really looking forward to it and the person says at check-in, well, here's a list of all the facilities that we've got, make the most of those and enjoy your stay. Enjoy your stay. Are you going to be there forever? No, you're not. But enjoy your stay. And I think that that's what we can say about planet Earth as well, particularly for those of us so blessed to live in a country like Australia. We're going to be here forever? No, we're not. This is not my forever home. I have a forever home. I'm already a citizen of there. but I'm going to do my very best to enjoy the stay, my short stay on earth, and I want to use its facilities. I want to enjoy the facilities. I'm going to make the best of my time here. He says, living out your time as foreigners, a foreigner living or traveling in a foreign land. A number of years ago, I think it was about around the year 2000, we had a couple from Bayside Church who worked for quite a number of years in Mozambique. They were medical missionaries in the northern part of Mozambique, Terry and Inez Tracy. Terry went to be with the Lord a few months ago, and Inez is still a part of our church community to this day. So I flew over to Johannesburg, and my first time in Africa, and that was great. I mean, everyone speaks English, and it was very much like Australia. But then 55-minute flight from Johannesburg to Maputo, the capital city of Mozambique, and I went from first world to third world, and suddenly people who, most of whom, didn't know English and didn't speak English, and then went up to the northern part of Mozambique, which is a very poor part of that country. The people there speak Portuguese and then all of these local dialects. And so even when I was preaching there, I had to have two interpreters. One of them was interpreting from English to Portuguese, and then the next interpreter would interpret from Portuguese to the local dialect, which was Makua. And so it was a fascinating experience because it was my first experience of traveling in a foreign land. I had people looking at me because I didn't know their language like I was stupid or something. I wonder if we've ever done that to people visiting Australia who don't know English. Do we think that they're less than? I had all of these uncomfortable experiences because I was traveling in a foreign land. And that's what Peter is saying that we are as followers of Jesus Christ. And he says, live out your time here as foreigners. In the following chapter, Peter adds another word to describe our liminal life. In 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles. Fascinating choice of words. Think back to what we shared at the beginning. The people of Israel were exiles in a foreign land of Babylon and then were able to go home. We can relate to them. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, are exiles as well. The BibleHub.com interprets that word exile as follows. Someone who is passing through, but still with personal relationship with the people in that place. It's a temporary but active connection. And I love that. And so we see this earth that we live in. We are foreigners and exiles. We are here for a short period of time. We have a temporary but an active connection. So we're not followers of Jesus who are distant from the world around us and its people. We are actively connected to people and to this world. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven. So I'm a citizen of heaven. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are a citizen of heaven. That's why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that we're actually ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is someone who's sent by their country to a foreign land to represent their country in that foreign land. What a magnificent picture that is of us. We're citizens of heaven. We belong somewhere else. We're on earth, a foreign land. We're living as foreigners and exiles, but we're also living as ambassadors. We are representatives of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. My question is, how are we going with that? Are we spending our time here protesting about this world or making up various conspiracy theories about this world? Or are we living as we should and bring heaven to earth and being a blessing in this foreign land that we find ourselves in? I'll finish up with this thought. The church community is the Christian's home away from home. The church community is the Christian's home away from home. It's a time that we can spend together with other citizens of heaven. We have that wonderful experience of being with people that we might not have ordinarily met in this life if we didn't have our common faith in Jesus. But suddenly we have all of those you too moments. Oh, you too, you feel that way. And we have that wonderful fellowship and camaraderie that exists between us. When we're in a foreign land and we bump into someone who either speaks English or we bump into someone who's Australian, what a wonderful connection that is. Years ago, I was visiting Moffat and Doreen Zimba, who have now gone back to Zambia. They've pioneered North Rise University, but they were doing their theological and business training at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena. And this is my first time driving in America. So I won't say I was on the wrong side of the road. I'll say I was on the other side of the road. And I was also sitting on the other side of the car driving. And it was an unusual experience for me. Remember, I confessed before that I have a terrible sense of direction. And I'm on my own in a borrowed car in downtown Los Angeles. And I am completely and absolutely lost. And I don't know what to do. And I'm at a stoplight, a red light. And so this car pulled up alongside me. So I thought, I'll wind my window down and I'll ask. The guy had his window open as well, and I called across. I said, "Oh, mate, sorry, you wouldn't know how I could get up to Beverly Hills, would you?" And he said, "Oh, g'day, buddy, how are you?" And it's an Aussie accent. He said, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Melbourne." He goes, "Oh, great, I'm from Sydney." And we ended up having this wonderful conversation until the light went green. And yes, in that time, he did tell me how I could get up to Beverly Hills, which was wonderful. There was that incredible connection point. And that's what we have as followers of Jesus. We have that wonderful connection point as we are foreigners and strangers. We have this home away from home, which we call the church. The church is this amazing community of people who are citizens of heaven. When it comes to the church, the Apostle Paul says, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." Great truth. Let's have a high regard for Jesus' church. And let's remember the ABCs of living a liminal life. A, accept that you'll never completely fit in. B, be in the world, but not of it. And C, convince yourself that God has called you to live a liminal life. I trust that word really, really blesses you. And I pray the blessing of God on everything that concerns you, and may His peace and presence overwhelm you and keep guard over you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have engaged with us for the first time, or if you're fairly new and you're listening to the messages and you're going, "Wow, what's all of this about being a follower of Jesus Christ?" We'd love to help answer that question for you. And so if you want to click on the link in the chat feed or in the body of the notes, if you're watching this on YouTube, and connect with us, and we would love to send you a Bible and some information on what it means to become a Jesus follower.